So today we're going to talk about Akira's Dharma Torah, part two. Last week we dealt mostly with theory. What the philosophy of this is behind this notion that Chazal, Bezdin, son, the Melech, we didn't really talk about so much, Navi, whatever, have the ability to uproot laws in the Torah. What was behind that? So we dealt with that last week. And whoever didn't hear it, this is pretty much standalone. You can listen to it. You can get my summary once I'm in the middle of writing it. Okay. What I want to do this week more is to show how, you know, someone asked me, is this used at all in modern psak? We always tend to think like, okay, these things, they exist in theory in the world of Chazal, but they don't really exist in our world, and therefore they're nice and theoretical. So I took three 20th century tshuvot that all rely on some cognate form of Akira's Dharma Torah or Eitz Lasos L'Hashem Mifei Rosh HaRasecha, which are related, obviously related terms, related notions. And we're going to try to read them a little bit closely and get a feel for how exactly this concept is actually used in Psak. That doesn't mean I'm telling you any, you know, prescriptively how you can, you know, go and use it in Psak. That is beyond my pay grade. But to analyze what people have already said, I think is totally fair. Okay, so we're going to do three things, okay? First is going to be the question of taking money to be involved in chinuch, to be in kolel, to be involved in, broadly speaking, anything that has to do with Torah education, which is very likely Asar Medina de Gemara, right? The Mishnah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, Perek Yavo says that lo tasim kardam lachbor bo, you are not allowed to use the Torah as a shovel to dig with, meaning as the presumably for your parnasa. The Gemara in Nedarim Daflam Zayin says, makes a drasha, ma ani b'chinam afata b'chinam, just like God teaches the Torah for free, so we have to teach the Torah for free. Okay, the Rambam in his Perish Mishnayos and Perek Dalet Mishnah Hey be'arichos talks about how usur it is, how it is obviously usur to take money to teach Torah, to learn Torah, etc. How it's horrible that people do this and they take money. And then this is Nifsak lahalacha, Perek Gimel, halacha Yod of Hilchas Tam, and Yud Aleph of Hilchas Tamut Torah. And then we are stuck with a problem, which is,
we don't have any teachers.
Well, yeah, right? Uvda, we have people who, in fact, take money for Tamut Torah. If we didn't, we would have no machanchem, we'd have no one in kolel, which may or may not be a problem, depending on what you think. I won't weigh in on this, at all. Parenthetically, I did not take any money for learning until this year at all. Meaning, even though I was in kolel for the last few years, I got paid for my fellowships. I never took any money from YU. And kachol ayachol, I avoided. I guess it's not really fair. I was half supported by my wife being in kolel, so I don't know how that counts. But hey, whatever. I didn't take money personally. Fine. So, the Kesef Mishnah, and I had mercy on you, and I did not provide the entire Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah Be'arichos and Gimel Yud goes through each and every proof of the Rambam and attempts to disprove the Rambam to varying levels of success. Admittedly, some of them are not so successful. For example, the Rambam at one point points out that the Gemara allowed Rav Sheshes to take money for Talmud Torah because he was blind. And like, he really, really couldn't do anything else. If he was going to learn Torah, it wasn't like he had the choice of going to work somewhere else. If you wanted him to learn, it was really, right, no choice. So the Rambam points out that the fact that Rav Sheshes could do it, and it's very clear that this was b'dieved because he just had no choice, shows that b'derechal, you should not take money for Talmud Torah. Because the Mishnah responds to that, if my memory serves me correctly, this is obviously wrong. Because if, in fact, it were usher to take money for Talmud Torah, Rav Sheshes would have just made a nace and made himself not blind so that he could find a job and learn Torah. Which might very well have been plausible to the Kesef Mishnah, to Rabbi Yosef Karo, who was a Kabbalist, and was likely less plausible to the Rambam. And whatever. But at the end of his piece, he says, and even if all of this is not true, It's a time to do for God. We had to be made for the Torah. Even if I can't justify it legally, even if I'm wrong, Meikar Adin, halachically we have no choice. And if you look, for example, right, this is here, Shulchan Aruch, Yagia Kapecha Kitochal, V'chol Mesim Aliba Lasok, V'Torah V'Lasim Malachal, Esparim Shadagah, Reizim Mechal Hashem V'Vaza Torah, She'osr Lehanos Medivei Torah. Anyone who learns Torah and doesn't support himself is Mechal Hashem, because you can't get benefit from Torah, V'chol Torah She'ini Mamalacha, Gorer Zavon V'Sov V'Lasim Abrios. The chol zev, and all this bibari with someone who's healthy, the yochol lasik malach over there acharis ktas v'lachias atzmo. Someone who's healthy enough that he could both work and learn. I will zokin a chol mutter lehanos miteroso. The yesh omrim dafilu bari mutter. And then he says, some say even a bari is mutter. Now, who is he quoting? So here's actually quoting the Tashbates, but more importantly, who is he really quoting? Himself, right? The Ketzer Mishnah, right? Meaning Ketzer Mishnah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, all the same person. Some say it's totally mutter, right? This is the halach. Another shach quotes the Ketzer Mishnah. Ayin Ketzer Mishnah, Per Gimel Mechel Talmud Torah. He'erich. He was very lengthy. It really is very, very long. Do I have a Rambam here? I do, right? Yeah, here. You just want an idea of why I didn't give it to you. Here, Hechel Talmud Torah. Per Gimel. Halacha Yud. This is the Ketzer Mishnah. Yeah, okay. Fine. So he was very long, and he said, L'tchot divrei Rambam, to disprove the Rambam. V'he'erich l'hovi raya l'matirit. And he tried to prove that it was mutter. Rabach kosav gam abeis Yosef. Sosem d'rabbe lo perish at chios l'raya sa Rambam. Golo rama kamaraya. U'be'emes avi shol beiru bas Yosef. Kosav be'er v'ketz Mishnah. And the Bach said, oh, but the Beis Yosef doesn't explain it. But obviously, as Shach points out, that's fine. Beis Yosef is the Ketzer Mishnah, and he already did. V'siyum d'varav m'sham. And what's the end? Haklal ho'oleh. What emerges? Shekol she'ein lo mimali esparnes. Anyone who doesn't have money to support himself, mutter likol schar l'lamed. Bein matam m'asman bein amen sibur. You're allowed to take money to teach Torah. Acharei hodia Hashem otanu es kol zos. After God has told us all this. Efshar lomar shekavanas. Rabbeinu kan hu she'ein l'adam lifrok ol milarcha me'alav. G'zeil esparnes min abriyah. So what does he mean in Shulchan Aruch? That you shouldn't throw off the old malacha, and just rely on staka. Aval yimod malacha hamifarneses aso imtas v'genu mutav imlotas v'genu yitol hasbakaso me'atzibor. And maybe it means you should put forth the effort, and if you can't support yourself and teach, then you're allowed to. Vein b'kachlum v'afilu nemar she'engin das Rambam. And even if you say this is not the Rambam, ela kanireh midvarah b'firish ha-mishnah ha-kaimalon kol makom she'alacha rofef es b'yadecha. And we establish that any time the halacha is weak in your hand, halach achar haminuk. Look at the minuk. V'ra'inu kol chachmi Yisrael kodem zman rabbeinu v'acharav. And we saw all people before the Rambam and after him. Noagin litol scharam me'atzibor. They take the money from the tzibor. V'gam ki nodesh halach divrei rabbeinu v'irsha mishnah. And even though it's known that maybe the halacha is really like the Rambam, efshar she'eskimu ken kol chachmi adoros v'shum eiz lasuz la'shem me'firu sarasecha. It could be that all of Klal Yisrael were agreed that you had to do this. You had to allow people to take money for teaching Torah, because otherwise, eiz lasuz la'shem me'firu sarasecha. She lo hayu parnasas halomdim amalamdim mitzuya lo hayu l'chol l'trach b'Torah. Because if people who were learning and teaching Torah weren't supported, they wouldn't be able to do what they were doing. Karaoi, as they need to. V'aisa ator mishtakachas chas v'shalom. And the Torah would have been forgotten. V'yosam mitzuya. And since, in fact, we do support mechanchem, not well, perhaps, but we do, right? Yechula, so they can be involved in Torah v'yagdil, Torah v'yadir. And that's what he says, right? Even if it's wrong, eis lasuz l'Hashem me'feir sarasecha. Now, there are other reasons why the Rambam might be wrong. Perhaps the Rambam's wrong, Mekra Din. Even if he's right, Mekra Din, we can use Schar Batala, etc. And parenthetically, I don't want anyone who's going to other fields to be feel so righteous. The people who make a lot of our money, our community might also not be allowed to make our din, because midin de gemara, who else is not allowed to get paid besides for people in chinuch? Doctors. So I would love to see all the doctors criticize the Bechamchem, because it's much harder to get out of that gemara than it is out of this gemara. In fact, there is no parallel heter, as obviously clear. What?
It's because the rabbis don't make the heters from doctors.
Well, exactly, yeah. whatever. But anyways, there is ways of getting around that one too. Shocking. Usually what people do, there is a reason that they do it. We don't just spit in the face of halacha or something. Okay. So, here, what you see is the following. And this is going to be something recurring. The Kesem Mishnah, the Shach, really do, in the end of the day, rely on Eis Lasa L'Hashem Eferes or Asecha. But do they rely on it by itself? No. Meaning, what's driving them? It's a combination. They are convinced that what? That they must be right l'halacha. Right? And therefore, they are willing to rely in theory on Eis Lasa L'Hashem Eferes or Asecha. But what does the Kesem Mishnah do before that? He tries to defend himself on people. On pure halachic grounds, right? He tries to argue. So, how is he using Eis Lasa L'Hashem Eferes or Asecha? He's not using it unilaterally and saying, oh, we're going to uproot the Torah, right? We need to do it, so we're just going to not keep the halacha. What's he saying? We could justify this halachically, and even if we couldn't, it would be mutter. So what is he really saying? Well, it's not clear, right? He's saying, I would rely on Eis Lasa L'Hashem Eferes or Asecha, but I don't really need to. So, if you tease it out, what seems to be going on is that, and Ariel pointed it out correctly last week, that there's a fine line, philosophically, between Eis Lasa L'Hashem Eferes or Asecha, Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, where I openly uproot the Torah because I need to for the continuity of the system as a whole, and times where I, right, where I, because of duress, I interpret the halacha in a way that is maybe not the most likely explanation that I wouldn't have said if I wasn't under duress. And as we pointed out last week, there's a very close conceptual connection. Right? They're just questions of degree. Right? If I'm under a certain level of duress, so if I can interpret the halacha even bekoshi in a certain way, I'll rely on a perush nidche, if I really, really need to. And if I can even do that, and I really, really need to, so there's this mechanism that I can use called Akiras Davar Min HaTorah, where I'm going to uproot the halacha. That fine line is blurred in the Kesem Mishnah, where first he tries to defend himself, and maybe he's convinced, maybe he's not convinced. So he basically makes the following argument. This must be true. Therefore, it allows me, it first of all forces my hand to look for Kulos Mekar Adin. And even if you don't buy my Kulos, so if push came to shove, I would rely on Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. Right? So it's not a straight Akiras Davar Min HaTorah argument. It's not a straight Eis Lasa L'Hashem Eferes or Asecha. It's some combination of Psikat Halacha B'Sha'at Chak, of duress, of necessity, pushing you to interpret the halachic system in a certain way, with the admission that even if it was wrong, this would be a case where he would apply Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. So is he a maskana? Yes and no. Okay? Now, keep that in mind. Right? I mean, what is the number one thing that comes out of the Kesem Mishnah's presentation, or the Shach presentation? Is necessity. Is that this must be true. Now, if it must be true, then what are you going to expect someone to respond to someone who challenges the status quo?
This isn't true.
Well, no, what are you going to expect the response to that person? The person who says, right, it's not necessary. If you think it's necessary, right, what are you going to expect? Let me change it, right? If I argue on a local halachic issue with Harav Ilan, right? Okay? We argue, I don't know, pick your little thing. Gebrachs, okay? Right? Nishta big deal, okay? I understand. Historically it was. Nishta big deal, okay? We argue, so we argue, like, if he decides to be Hasidish and, you know, adopt that minhag and not eat gebrach, does it threaten how I eat my Seder? Only if he tries to come to mine and call my food treif. But, like, if he's at his Seder, you going home for Pesach? He is a 15-hour flight away. I'm here in a lunch, but it doesn't make a difference to me. If he eats Gebrauch, if he doesn't want to eat Gebrauch, and I do eat Gebrauch, I don't really care. But let's say someone comes up and says, you think it's mutter because this is necessary, and therefore you're willing to push the halachic system to its limits or even break it. Well, you're wrong sociologically. You're wrong b'mitzius. Right? If you think you're right, right, what's your response going to be? You're going to go into a very violent defensive mode. Right? Because he's under, right, challenging the assessment of the mitzius, the assessment that this is necessary, is very dangerous because, right, it's not just an argument. It undermines the entire system. Not the system. It undermines your entire claim for this psak and for the status quo. Right? There's a much more dangerous thing. So if you look, for example, in Moshe's tshuva, hello, Matthew. Be'inyan kalavalas pras leparnasasa me'akolim kidei sheyuchlu lehiskadal batero. So the Moshe would ask about this, about taking money to be'in kolo. And in his very harif moment, he says like this, hine, bidavar talmid chacham, tamidei chachamim harotzim lesasik batero lahachkim babidias hatera, v'kmosave echuzane enim leparnasam imashen adlim pras be'kolim. With regards to those people who want to grow in Torah in Kolo, v'chein rabbanim anotlim pras, and rabbanim v'malamdim and teachers im talmidim rashi yeshivas anotlim pras parnasasam im shapir avdi oshiish malahar achar zeh v'yeh midas chasidus lo nisparneis mizeh elam imaziyada. Should they be comfortable with the status quo, or should they try to be from and get a job and find some way of supporting themselves in addition to teaching Torah? Hine, vaday shapir avdi. It's perfectly fine. The chinifzik brama. That's the Rama pasuk. Shafil bari mutter. Umutter lechacham uletalmid of lekabel. Hespakot min anot nim kidei lachzik kidei lomdei Torah. And they are allowed to take money from those who support them. Shayideze yichol lasuk b'tor berevach. Vashach hevi af meakazimisha pasuk kain. Afilu imne. Now the Shach quotes the Gezer Mishnah says, "Shafilu imne mishein kan das Rambam." Even if it's true that it's not the Rambam, mishum shekol chachmi Yisrael kodem zman Rabbeinu v'achrav noag in lital schara me'atzivor. The minhag Yisrael before and after was to take money. V'avim ledina halacha k'Rambam. And even if we would paskin like the Rambam mikra adin, his kimu kin chachmi adoros mishum eitz laslo shem efer zar secha. Shilu loya parnasas alomdim. Etc. Okay. Now skip down three lines. Right? So now, Ramosha is convinced of the necessity that drove the Kesef Mishnah. Right? So now watch what he says to those people who challenge the status quo that Chachmei Yisrael have relied either on this Akira Stavramantara, this Eish Lasa Lashem, or alternatively this potentially Dochak Pshat in the Sugya. V'lachein, hu din barur upashut sheniskabel b'chol hadoros im midina im mitakana de'eish Lasa Lashem v'fir sarasecha shem mutter lasuk v'tor l'isparnim v'kal pras o mashim ulam v'tor l'achim o shirav morera. It is accepted either mikra din or because Esau Hashem refers to Zecha. Meaning, the conclusion is right. However, you want to get there, that you're allowed to take money to learn and teach Torah. Ve'ein lihimanam yizafil midas chasidus, and you should not, cannot hold yourself back under the claim that this is righteous. Va'ani omer, and I say ki elu hamischazdim mitzad shitas Rambam. These people who want to be from and get a job so that they can be machmir like the Rambam, who ba'atzes ha'yitzer hara. It is the advice of the evil inclination, k'dei she'yafsek mi'lilmod, because they don't want to learn. V'yafsek mi'lachol v'meschar v'chadoma. They want to be involved in business. Ad until shavu asof, in the end, him shochem af ha'mikzah shekfar lamdu. They'll forget that which they know. Ve'ina manicham af lekvoz man katzar l'tamad Torah, and they won't be left with even a few minutes to learn. Ki marishonim ki malachim, because the original ones were angels, amru she'ev shal asik b'Torah, and they said they couldn't both work and learn Torah. L'hachkim b'kishiyasim alach l'isparim ha'isi yadav, kol shekin b'dareinu, So much more so in our generation, Doryasme, an orphan generation, Diasme, the orphans of the orphans. Vigam Ain Lanu Hanashim Sitkanya Shayirza Lisbol Oni Vidakut Vedu Kividarotam. And we are not married to women who are so righteous that they're willing to be poor, so that we can learn Shavadai Efshar Lashum Adam Lizgaz Vilomar Shahu Yachalaz Malak Akmadar, because no one should have the arrogance to say they can get a job and learn Torah. Lachin Lo Yale Al Machavascha Atzase Yitzhara. Therefore you shouldn't even think about the advice of the Yitzhara Shayish Bekabalis Pras. Don't even think that it's wrong. It is just trying to entice you away from Torah. And oh, would it be that people would give money to Torah? And then there would be more Talmidei Chachamim, and all God wants is Halacha, Yedido Mevarcho, etc. Moshe Feinstein. So, without weighing in on whether I totally agree with this sentiment, why is Moshe fighting so vehemently? Because what drives an Eis Lashem argument, right, is that it must be true. You think about how it appeared in the Kesem Mishnah, in the Shach, and in Moshe, is that either it's right, make radin, and if it's not right, make radin, then we have to do it anyways. Meaning it's necessary. So if you're going to tell me it's not necessary, you're going to tell me you're special, you're undermining the status quo. But I'm telling you, b'mitzius, that this is what Klal Yisrael needs, and I don't care how we get there. Right? So if you think, methodologically, what lies behind this, and this, again, coming back to Ariel's point, that the line between psikad al chavishad atchak and eis lasa l'shem v'feres arzech, or kiris tov natura, is very, very fine. What drives them is the same, is that sometimes you look at the reality, you say this is what must be true, and you find a way to make it true, either through interpretation or through what Ramosha calls takana, through a kiris davar min haTorah. Okay, so that's example one. Without getting into whether I agree with this, meaning if you look at the Mitzvah and you say Ramosha is incorrect, or Ramosha was right in his time and not now, or Ramosha is right for a limited number of machanchem, but not for an entire generation of kolo people, right? If you make any of those Mitzias assessments, then you would challenge the status quo of 2014, right? But what I wanted to show you is how the rhetoric is used, how this, right, of Eis Las Lashem, of Akiris Davar Min haTorah. Matthew.
So last week when we started talking about the Torah, so we said the Rambam defined the heter with the Kesem Torah is because the Torah itself will be hurt, as if there's a concern that people will do some iser or not for the Torah. Here, Moshe's concern is that people stop learning the Torah, and then is Moshe saying that the line has to be drawn as in the point at which we can use this mechanism is only where there's a real risk that the Torah itself will be lost from Klal Yisrael?
I don't think so. I think that just happens to be the case we're talking about. Uh-huh. Right? Now, parenthetically, it happens to be Ramosha has more room on this particular one, because what other thing were we matir for this exact reason? Writing down Torah Shebal Peh. Right? Because it was better that we should move out to one halacha than, right, that Torah should be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Right? The notion that forgetting the Torah, that maintaining the Torah, I don't mean like the Torah system, but Torah qua knowledge of Torah, is a very, very strong drive towards Shas Atchak, right, of all sorts, right, is already established in the Gemara. So it may be that he's focusing on, but I don't think so. Meaning, I think the same would be true of other things. But I don't know, okay? But this is example one, okay? Yoni?
Do you know how the Rambam got a parasa?
Well, combination of things. Either...
If you wasn't a doctor...
So it's not... Yeah, so it's so there's one tshuva which is not entirely clear whether it means that the Rambam's brother supported him, or the Rambam's brother invested his money, and he was supported through that, which is clearly mutter.
Doesn't this all fall on the same issue though?
No, that's explicitly no. That's explicitly much on the Gemara.
Why is the first one not an issue?
The first one would be complicated in the Rambam. It's not clear what the letter says.
Is it one sort of thing?
Well, that's the question: is how does this apply? Would the Rambam hold of Yitzchak HaZorin? He might, even though he doesn't hold of this. And yes, he was a doctor, and yes, and a whole bunch of other things. But the Rambam's historical life we can leave for another time. But yes, if he in fact was supported by his brother, then we have to work out some details. But again, I don't want to be mitakev on this sugya per se. Yeah.
You just say that being supported by Yachin is different than...
I mean, you could. I'm saying that's what I said. You could. The question of this versus the Yisachar's villain relationship, we can talk about, right? Which probably that's what it's about. But again, Naniach Levatzad, because it's not our... I want to give three examples of Akira Sarmanatura. Okay. Fine. The second one, you know, let's skip this one because I want to spend the rest of the time on the second example. The third one, which I wanted to do, which now we'll do second, is the last page. We already saw this, okay? This is simply the tshuva we saw by Rabbi Ovadia about marrying Karaim. So if you remember, we did this by a few weeks ago when we did Chil Hashem. Was everyone here? Everyone was here? Most people were here? Oh, very quickly, right? When we did Chil Hashem b'shasatcha, Chil Hashem is a factor in Psak. So we point out that the Kesef Mishnah Rav Ovadia quotes from the Shuv B'Samim Rosh that we have to allow the Karaim to marry into the Jewish people because even though they argue with us about Gittin and Kiddushin and Arayos, etc., etc., because they've died as Jews and lived as Jews and identified as Jews, even though we totally disagree on what the Torah means, it would be a Chil Hashem for us to reject them. And if you look at the bolded part, since we already read it, I'm not going to read all of it again, right, he said, right, to uproot an entire congregation from being under the wings of the Shekhinah, we can't knock them away, they give up their lives, they martyr themselves to keep the Torah like their forefathers, and they suffer with us, they're killed, and they're kept alive by God, right, by the shepherd, Kasher Itanu, like us. And then if you skip to the next one, he says, Vafilu ilu, the next bold part, the three lines down, Vafilu ilu haya safek mamzer, asr min haTorah, and even if it were true that safek mamzer were asr min haTorah, haya ro ilu akro, we should have uprooted the Torah, kadeshi iskadesh, so that so God's name should be sanctified and not desecrated. So they won't say, look, these Jewish people, they're two nations. Yisrael, two types of Jews, and each of them hate their friends. And if you remember, Rav Ovadia says, and this is the last paragraph, and even though B'Sam Rosh is probably a forgery, but we rely on B'Sam Rosh not based on authority but based on the arguments. And then you skip down again to the rest of the boulder, and he's right. And that which you said, that these people will be chil Hashem to distance them because they live through the Gauls. It's true even in our time. Even more, because the Karaim really, really were moser nefesh for the state, Gambia Tamagola, even when they were in the diaspora, Mahem Shinim Shubideh, Shultan of Mitzrayim, Hotim Lahoreg, etc., etc., etc. Okay? So we read this tshuva already. And again, right, so this tshuva, again, how was Akira's Devar Min haTorah being used by both of some Rosh and Rav Ovadia? Is it being used by itself?
No,
it's making a rhetorical point again, which is, this must be true, because if it weren't, the Chil Hashem that was generated would be so bad. The ra'ui la'akor davar min haTorah. And since, if I push came to show, I would rely on Akira's davar min haTorah. Therefore, I can definitely rely on, right, these svaras that I have already, right, this is later in the Tshuva of the Rav Ovadia, right, on the svaras they've already brought to bear to explain why it's mutter, right? Again, the line is blurred between Psikat al-Halacha b'Shalat Chak and Akira's Davar Min haTorah, right? It must be true, and even if I can't justify it, I would say it would be true k'neged the Halacha P'suka, right? We would have to use Akira's Davar Min haTorah, right, to prevent, in this case, Chilul Hashem. And therefore, you should, right, that should show you that we should at least rely on the kulos that I've already said. Right now, Ravadia, right, doesn't think this is actually Kirsman Torah. He, you know, this is already the 10th paragraph. He already has 9 paragraphs of kulos before you get there. But again, right here, it's being used rhetorically, fundamentally, to make one claim. This must be true halachically. Right? And therefore, either we're going to make it true halachically, keneged halacha psuka, or we're going to use that impetus as justification to rely on a certain set of halachic argument.
Yeah. So when you say Torah here, it's just rhetorical device.
I think so.
It's
here, I think it's just rhetorical, but it emphasizes the same point.
I mean, we're talking about Tzachalach Hashem's cock, and I'm going to throw around terms like, I would even do this
Correct.
Torah because...
Correct. And again, and I think, but again, what that highlights, again, is that what drives both Akira Sarva Torah and Psikat al Chabad al Chak is fundamentally an assumption of what the conclusion must be for the sake of the halachic system, right? Or, in other words, most halacha is not, I'm not going to use the words I've been about to use, right? Is not, does not have a definite goal in mind, right? You try to figure out what the halachic system says, and that's how you paskin, right? But sometimes you have a predisposition to say the conclusion should be X or must be X, right? Which is Akira Sevena Torah, Psikat al Chabad al Chak, right? I'm either, in the case of Akira Sevena Torah, going to get to conclusion X no matter what, even if it's Keneged Halacha, right? Because it's so necessary, I'm going to pass in that way anyways, and I'll explicitly say I'm approving the Torah, or I will get there however I can, even if it's not so compelling, because, right, it's sort of, I'm working from my conclusion backwards.
So, would Rav Avadia, because of Mishnah, actually apply Kirsten Torah?
So again, there's a subtle difference. In Rav Avadia's Tshuva, it sounds very much like it's mostly rhetorical. Right? In the case of Mishnah, it doesn't. The case of Mishnah is willing to entertain the possibility. Remember, Rav Avadia is saying this only after having explained why he thinks it's mutter in 9 sections. Right? The case of Mishnah, and if you watch how it's brought in every subsequent source, in the case of Mishnah, the Shach, and Rav Moshe, each one of them says it's either right because the Rambam's wrong, or because Takana Mikol HaDoros, right? Meaning, they're muda to the fact that the Rambam actually passes against them. I mean, here, right, they're, even if they can defend themselves against the Rambam, they're perfectly aware that the Rambam, who's a very chashuv person, says what they're doing is wrong, right? So they constantly have both. So I'm not sure, because it's somewhere between rhetoric and an actual halachic argument. I'm not sure the case of Mishnah or Moshe or the Shach, from reading them, didn't think this actually was Esau Shem Eferos or Asecha.
I thought we said the
Kirsten
Torah could only be limited to cases of a Navi or like a Sanhedrin or not. Like
no, I never said that. Oh, one second. I don't usually do this, but 1 second. Hannah.
Hi. I'm in the middle of giving Shir, but you're heading over now. Okay. You can either take the 161 word and 64 which will come to a lunch foot, or the 160 which will go to the Tzomet, and then you can trap into a lunch foot, okay? Get off at the traffic circle and then just walk straight down the street and make a right. Or call me when you get here, okay?
It's a third issue.
What? Okay. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
She's gonna get off the
back of the day. No, she's been to a lunch foot before. Sorry to those people who are listening and recording. Okay, fine.
Wait, so isn't Akira Sevena Torah limited to Yisro Chazal? Or...
No.
No, it's not.
No, that's what I wanted to prove, right? Everyone asked me last week is, right, or is there any practical application of it? Now, no. Right? Substantively, what did the Kesef Mishnah and Rav Moshe and the Shach, none of them bring up as a problem at all?
The fact that,
they're not Chazal.
Right.
That was no Havamina. Right? They brought up the problem that maybe they don't need it, because maybe they could justify it halachically, right? But they never even had a Havamina to say, oh, we can't employ Akira Sevena Torah. And I explain why. Why? In fact, I won't explain why. Tell me why it can't be limited to Chazal.
Because that's to be a modern problem that accounts for
new materials. Yeah, because what did Akira Sevena Torah say? In the here and now, the Torah is in danger. We need to do something, right? You can't say that only existed in the time of Chazal, and then for the next 2,000 years, we have no mechanism, possibly, under no matter how bad things get, to solve the solution even temporarily. Right? Lo yitachein. It has to be the case that it's an eternal mechanism.
Well,
Right? It has to be. By definition, the fact that Akira Simon Torah is predicated on the notion that sometimes to protect the Torah, you need to be okay at something temporarily, that can't be true. I mean, they can't not be true, always. Right? Definitionally. Right? Because otherwise what you'd say is, since the time of Chazal, 1500 years, right, I don't care how much danger the Torah is in, right? Forget it. I'd rather let the whole, you know, the whole Torah and all the Jewish people, right, dissolve and disappear because, formally, I'm not Chazal, right? It doesn't make sense, right? Okay. So, that's example two. Example three, and this is the trickiest, is a very famous tshuva of the Sri Deyesh. I just gave you the whole thing. We're not going to read all of it. I just gave it to you. Okay? You think this is long. My God. Like, what is this? 2.5 pages? What? I'm thinking that when I get officially, at some point in honor of me getting smicha officially, I'm going to give shir on the smicha controversy. The tshuva of the Maralbach on smicha is 105 pages long. Like, and that was when I copied it out into Word, into font 11, like, single space. This is not, like, in the book. In the book, forget it. Like, I don't know.
Didn't paper cost a lot? So, like,
it was really worth it.
It was worth it.
It was worth it. It provided enough entertainment and scholarship for hundreds of years. So many articles have been written about the Smicha controversy. And the subsequent 3 times when they tried to reinstitute smicha, most recently in 2004, you would think this had died in the Middle Ages, but it has not. It has been twice since the state has been established. What?
Steinsaltz.
The Sanhedrin Agadala Yoshev Bekvar Tzion. Whatever. Whatever. We'll talk about it later. Fine. So, third example. Sri Deyesh. About Kalisha. Okay? Very famous tshuva. Very rarely read inside. I do not approve of such things. I am opposed to quoting famous things without looking at them. This is intellectually dishonest. So we're going to look at it now, okay? Can boys and girls sing together frum songs? Yeah? Okay? I want you to pay attention to rhetoric. I want you to pay attention to methodology. Right? This is very important, this tshuva, okay? And what we're going to get to when we start getting to tshuvos, as important as substances in tshuvot, is rhetoric. Tshuvot, and not, I don't mean this in the low sense of the word. Tshuvot are political documents in the highest sense of that word. Meaning, politics in the sense that they are meant not just to teach, but to convince, to persuade, right? To influence how halacha will be implemented in reality. Which means it is as important for the Sri Deyesh to convince you of his claims as it is for him to present a coherent approach. It's not just that he wants to say, this is possible, he wants to tell you, this is what you're supposed to do. Okay? So he said, B'michtavo b'yom chet teiliz, v'ta'er kovo torato es derech ha-chinuch shel gon yeshurun, sh'nosa b'eretz ha-rafa'a l'fnei kamar shanim. So you explain to me how you educate in this youth group, essentially, yeshurun, okay? Which follow the educational procedure set up in Ashkenaz Lefeach Churban. What does that mean?
Pre-Germany,
really. It's actually Germany. It's pre-Holocaust Germany, right? I mean, it sounds like, pre-Crusades, France, and France, Germany. It's not what it means, right? It means 1930s. Whatever, 1920s, whatever. Right? When the Sri Deyesh died in like the 1970s or something. Right? It's not, they're very, very recent. But Achshav, Kamu Negdo, shockingly, now people have stood up and said, Negdo, Orim, people are challenging Mitzad Chug Yadua Shal Charedim on behalf of a very well known group of Charedim. Asher Lefi Daidam Eina Derech Azos Lefi Ruach HaYahadut, who said, this is not the spirit of Judaism. As we got it from our holy ancestors. And the challenges are twofold. One, they just oppose this whole organization. They get guys and girls working together and have them working in one group. and you can fill in all the organizations that fit this model, right? But this is NCSY, this has been Akiva, right? This is all part of, right? This is, right? Yishurunet, same idea, okay? One is that they hang out together. Two is that they sing together. Right? They sing together Shabbos meals. This should sound familiar for any of you who have been on these Shabbatons. And depending on who you are, either I'm sure you loved it or I'm sorry, whatever. I mean, I know they do all types of other things in these Shabbatons, I understand. Dvar Torah, okay. I never got, like, I read to very few NCSY Shabbatons in my life, mostly for Gush, because the recruiting Shabbatons in the Midwest are run by NCSY. I never got used to that. Okay. It wasn't for me. They do wonderful work. It's not for me. The Kavod Torah Shaal, so you asked, B'shem, I really do mean, they do wonderful, wonderful work. I can't deal with shtick. It's just not in my blood. The Kavod Torah Shaal, I remember my roommate, you know, we used to be very into it. And I was always like, I'm perfectly fine doing what we call Kiruv Krovim. I can teach Torah. If that inspires people, fine. I cannot do Kiruv. I just can't deal with it. It's just other people are better people than I am. I just... Okay. The Kavod Torah, so it's like Rav Khan and his brother. I mean, Rav Khan's brother is more involved in Kiruv. I can't imagine Rav Khan, like... not being a Ram. The Kavod Torah so shol b'shem avidat haranicha argun yishurun. So you ask on behalf of yishurun mutter lohem lamshichet pulatam b'derech shenalu ta adko. Can you continue the way you're doing it? Oh, tzrichim lafsik pulatam legram leperud argun. Or do you have to destroy the organization? That's it. It's over. Okay. And I want you to pay attention to this rhetoric. It is a beautiful tshuva. You could ask. I was going through this tshuva again with Jonah a few weeks ago. You could ask him how much hana I got just from reading this tshuva. I love tshuvas. Okay. V'ashiva rishon. So I'm going to answer you one by one. V'achron achron. Irei charedim. The contentions of the charedim. We're telling you it's usher. So what do you expect he's going to say? You've all heard the tshuva before, right? What do you expect he's going to say?
That they're wrong.
They're wrong, right? That's what you expect, because you've all heard this, right? B'vada yesh lismoch. They have what they're relying on, for sure. They're right. Shari al pidin Torah, tzrav la'afrin nashim minashim. Midah writes that you've got to separate men and women. Kadesh level calls road, so they won't be led to levity. Mesech ha-sukkah. Etc. And he quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, who says that during the Beis Hamikdash and even Lasad Lava, we have to separate men and women, right? Even the Beis Hamikdash, even at a funeral, doesn't matter. And that's why Minog Yisrael Lidore Doros was not to have coed things. Period. Zeu. Vayir Hasheni. And the second one, Vaday Shetzadeku. You're obviously right. Halpi Masha Amar Bikamar Brachos Kol Bisherva. Kol Ish is Aser. So of course, Yishurun is Aser because it's coed, and Yishurun is Aser because of Kol Ish. Zeu. Done. Right, and some people are going to tell me, oh, it's only arayos of a local isha penuya sheineno erva, but not an unmarried woman. It totally mashach al asher Rambam, and they made a mistake to follow the Rambam. They should call the asher shmol kol erva. Aval kfar ochiach b'shut b'ersheva the b'ersheva itzed shuzutos ve'naf kamina b'nisuot penuya. There's no difference. Umidvarav yotzei shavnir shoshav asher l'zamer b'chorim b'vesula. And from their words, it's clear you can't. That's it. Usher, totally. No singing. Okay? This is the famous tshuva. I'm going to stop right here. This is the famous tshuva of the Shri Deish, right? Kalisha, co-ed events, usher. Totally. Right? Right? That's what he said. Right? For all of you who thought that the Shri Deish was a big make-ill on this issue, right? But he continues, and he says, Mikol makom, however, kishalti yisim in halal yishu, when I was asked, but when they asked me, I told them, keep doing what you're doing. Shayut said, because you're following the Gedolim from Ashkenaz, from Germany. Shayut Sadikim Gedolim. They were great Sadikim. Shit. Shehiz, Pashta, the Ashkenaz be a man, and they wanted to save Klal Yisrael from assimilation. And they succeeded to bring back Klal Yisrael to save souls. Ugdolei Ashkenaz yubekim umumchim v'chachmas achinuch. And the Rabbanim of Germany, they were experts in education. V'lachein, and therefore it's lichubas em lakim doros l'shleimim shabali yirshamayim v'askalach chilonik echad. And they succeeded in creating Torah umad the Jews. Right? They had yirshamayim, and they learned secular studies. Ma, and now watch for, right? Start listening to the polemic that's going to go on, right? The rhetoric. Which the Gaonim of Poland and Lithuania were not successful at. Because they didn't know to educate based on what the times needed. And it's known what Yisrael Salanter said when he came back from a visit to Germany. When he met Rav Israel Hildesheimer, right, the head of the Hildesheimer rabbinical seminary. And he saw him teaching Rachman al-Islam, halach and Tanakh shirim to women. And he said, if Rabbanim of Lita would come and do this, they would fire him. And they would be right. Nevertheless, nevertheless, may I be put with Israel Hildesheimer in heaven. And why? Because and the rabbis of Poland and Hungary that now live in France, they see what these people are bringing over from Germany. They mochim negdem ba'oz, and they challenge them. And they tell me, oh, it's against Shulchan Aruch. Ulam ein harabanim hanal bekim tnei achayim asurim b'nidat Tzarfat. But you know what they don't know? They know halacha. What don't they know?
What's going on?
They don't know what's going on. They don't know reality. They don't see how bad the Jews' situation is. Lehefech. On the other, and the opposite. B'drishotehem, in their expectations, heim amidim b'sakana hitpachuto shel ha'argon hazeh, they are putting in danger the success of this organization, asher kvar tzliach harbe v'lo hachinuchi, which has been educationally successful. K'mo shetir kavadorasu m'michdava v'chol dvarim hekenim avatiyim v'zeh yadu alako. And this is true and everybody knows it. Yadua, and he continues, Yaduma kama chazak shetev ha'itbolelut beret Tzarfat. It's known, this flood of assimilation in France. The kama godomis baram shanuseyit arvud min dazo. How much intermarriage, bini good l'artzot acherot, shisham yadur alechem mitgaber min da'aret mishveiluta, as opposed to other countries where religion is starting to revive itself. Hinei b'Tzarfat, in France, hitmia holechev igdela. Assimilation is only getting worse. Tanaya sviva Tzarfatit amyuchedet hamisena b'kalut dadu v'dalut shel yon retzini ma'amik. The specifics of France who celebrate superficiality, ruach hacherut, and individuality of achovesh, and freedom, v'ridifach harei nochiyut nihima v'zorchi tunei maxim, and they run after pleasantries and the luster of external magic. Gormim lihitpashtut machalat haitbolelut be'eretz zu. It caused to the spread of this disease of assimilation. V'rabim him chalalea b'krev yotzei Rusya Polin rachman litzlan. And how much so are the corpses that lie there from Russia and Poland. V'im lo yisazru v'yisodadu le'achoz b'darkei ha'atzalah le'hakim pinat magen l'shridim. And if we don't get up and save the few who are left, who could create a new generation which believes in Hashem and His Torah, if we were to give up on the Zion, if we're going to give up on the tested methods of education from Germany, the end of the of French Jewry will be destruction and death, Rahman al Islam, Is Lasos, Lashem, Vichule. Right?
What's this method of education that the Germans
have? NCSY, Bnei Akiva.
Okay.
Camp Mosheva. Right? That's what it is, right? Joint, co-ed environment where you try to make Torah enticing through things other than pure Torah, through singing, through spirit, through Ruach, whatever, right?
Sounds good.
Now, have you listened to the rhetoric? So far, has he made a single halachic argument in favor of Kalisha? No, but what did he say? You're blind to reality. Totally blind. Germany, you want to say they violated Kalisha? But look, uvda, facts. The Germans were, according to the Sridayesh, more successful in chinuch. And here, you have mass assimilation, intermarriage, and you are incapable of bringing people back. And he continues, simply organizing people, boys and girls, under the flag of Torah and tradition is a great strength to the spirit of the teenagers who are under unending influence of the non-Jewish schools and environment. The main cause of this horrible situation in France, who is according to me, is the sheer loneliness that the souls of the teenagers, the Jewish teenagers, the male or female teenager, Margishit Mo Bodeid Vinezav, feels himself deserted and abandoned. Ein lo achizan nafshit bekerav habayit. He has nothing at home. O mishpachah shel Rav Krovav. Habayit v'mishpachah shel achinu b'tzarfat nitroknu min achalat avoteihem u'mitzarotam shel ovei yudud chen v'ra'anan. It is emptied of the inheritance of our Mesorah, which is alive and invigorating. Ein b'hem siman shel achayim baruch yudud. There is no sign of life in their Judaism. Very difahare kesef adanugot. They just chase money and pleasure. Olam asta shemot bekirbam v'garmal leprikat ol Torah. There's been total destruction, and they've just given up Torah mitzvot. Hatzayir yudi shum megil gil boger margisha that's mo bodeid b'olamo. And the teenager feels himself alone in the world. Ayadut kifiam and that methodology of teaching of the old generation, you think it's they look at it as you're a monk, right? And learning is to them boring and exhausting. And they see Judaism as a medieval ghetto. A spiritual medieval ghetto that they should escape from at all, with all strength and at all costs. They are completely separated from any sign of life, from anything that brings their soul in. Ain shum kesher benish leish. There's no connection between people. Ainim itzarfim, ainim itchabrim zels, and michoser ideal mishutafim. They can't identify with anyone because they don't have any shared ideals. Ulvichachim olchim v'nischafim mazera mazar shal tzviva agoyit. And therefore, they're just caught up in assimilation. Atot you do it l'madai, and we know the results. Him olchim v'nitmayim v'nivlayim v'nagoyim. They're swallowed up by the nations. Ulvichach, and therefore, ani mekadeim b'simcha u'bracha et ha'ergun yishurun. And therefore, with joy, I put forth and I support Yishurun, Shomeid v'nilcham milchemet magein l'ruach Yisrael Torado, who are fighting the battle to protect the spirit of Israel and its Torah. Kodem kol hu migaresh et abdidut hanafshit v'ruach hayeush v'arifyon shel atzayir atzuyira. At first it wipes away this loneliness that they feel. Birotam, when they see kolo alman Yisrael, that the Jews are not widowed by God. V'adayin yeshnam b'tochinu tzirim u'tzirot shom reitim ram mitzvah. They still they're still youth who keep Torah. Hey, odidim zedzeh. They support each other. Beruach with spirit. Mizarzim zedzeh shalit bayesh mi bnei mali gim mikerachem mikrovehem. And they support each other not to be embarrassed by those who would attack them and make fun of them for keeping the Torah. V'davar zeh bilvad. For this alone, kidayu lamlit zechur ali gura kasher azeh neged makatriga. For this alone, I would support you against your critics. V'afalimud v'chaburah b'tzurah na'em. And learning together, I can't explain how great and valuable it is. And when you do this in a proper tzniustic Jewish context, and the trif, and the games, they can really drag in the heart. Creates an atmosphere of pure Judaism, where you absorb in the smell of love of Torah and of Judaism. So in the end, ain lanu diktotera tzvait. We don't have the ability to force people to stay Jewish. So we only have one way of saving them. And we only have one choice, therefore, and that's to make Judaism pleasant. Okay? So, right, we're four sections into this tshuva. And what stands out very, very powerfully? What? What?
No
halacha garden, not a single one. What's the argument? Mitzius. We need it. Zeu. Islas lo shemei. Feres har zecha. Zeu. But now he says, okay. Now, fifth section, he says, v'achshav now, ani roche levayer daba yoram dola perak mitzad halacha. Now that I've told you that anyone who doesn't do this is allowing Klal Yisrael to die a miserable death. Now I'm going to explain to you what the halacha is. Right? Right? So now he says,
why is this section valuable? As in, one would determine that it may be necessary independent of halacha reason.
Hold. Okay. Hold. Hold it. You'll see. So, section 5. Hold it. This is important. I want to, and we'll get to it. Okay? So now, section 5, he starts with the halachic arguments. Okay? So he says, so the first problem is that boys and girls are together. And this is a problem. I'm going to summarize some of this, right? And it's a problem because the Gemara says that you should separate boys and girls, right? So then he says, look, it's not really about looking at girls. It's about separation. This is a machloket rishonim. And he said, oh, look, mechitza per se is only in shul, right? And even that, even in shul, it's only during davening, which has a drasha. Okay, and the last paragraph here, v'nira shizumidas chasidus lomitzad adin, me'olam reinu b'artzot leita polinji daktu b'za. V'hanach li'Yisrael. Okay, so first thing he says, look, while there is evidence that you need separation, we can explain it's just about shuls, okay? We'll bracket this argument because I don't want to get into the question of mixed gendered stuff at the moment. He doesn't focus most of his tshuva on it. Yeah. But you. Okay. Fine. I feel like this is the Purim spiel going already. Okay. Well, that's fine. Okay. Section 6. Let's focus on it really, okay? Section 6. So, Mashanagal Mashir Lazamashir Kodesh Ben Yachad. Right? In terms of Kol Yisho. Right? So, they asked me, and I told them that, look, in Germany, we used to sing the songs together. Right? And if you look at the second line involved, Yishtomamti, Liminag Zesh, Negan Din Beforesh Bishchonot, Bibarachayim. Right? I was shocked. Right? Because it's Usher. Right? Kol Bisha Erva. Right? And he said, Kal v'chomer, you're going to tell me it's only of an Erevah, fine, but all the Basulos nowadays are Nidos, so it's obviously Usser, right? And he said, look, it's true that there are people who say that it's only about Kriya Shema, right? That the Isser Kol Yisrael is only Kriya Shema, it's not in general. And you look at the three lines from the bottom of that first paragraph, the Yishbizim of Chavin Versha Rush, and there's a big, you know, there's a big problem in the Mefarshim Arach, big argument. And then Yom Tov, Kazim, Chavin Versha Rush, Kriyashma, Kilu, Kadesh, Lavadim, Kriyashma, and Shamu, Kfar Hezek, Olam, Mechitas, He said, while there are Shitos who say that Kol Isha is only an Issa during Kriyashma, it's not true. That's not what he means. Right? Straightforward, it's an Usser. And next paragraph, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, said it. It's Usser. That's all there is. Okay? So, section 6, he just says, you know what? You want to try to give me the, Kriyashma is only a problem. It's only a problem during Kriyashma, which is the argument that a few poskim made will remain nameless. Right? The Sri Deish was the Bala Memra, the Kalisha is Mutter, right? Just Usser. He's just wrong. Right? Kalisha is not just about Kriyashma. It's an Isser, it's a blanket Isser. Period. That's paragraph 6. 7. Ulam Ladina, Ladina ain't Nafkamina Vazem. Right, he said, and even in your state, it's only by an error, but there's no nafkamina because there are nidos, right? Hey, mecheskes nidik vach gotu mishne brua imken la'olam asher la'olam l'shmua kol zemar shabazulos. U'mitamzen irarti negin min agzesh u'nagu achari de Ashkenaz. And therefore, I challenged it, right? Now, this is very important rhetorically. What did he say? Originally, he also challenged it. Why? Because he looked at it, they were singing. There's no het there, so he said, it's usher, right? Ulam, however, but after I looked into it, Nemerli Hagon Atzadik, Rizal Hildesheimer Zal, Vichin, Hasham Shalot Fala Hursat Zal, but Frankfurt, Al Narmi Anitiru, Mizmir Kodesh, Lazari Yachad. But I found out that Hildesheimer and Rav Hirsch muttered it. Why? Vatam, Yishum, Detrei Kolo Lo Mishtamoi, because two voices aren't heard together. Vichin Shem Zarim Yachad, Ein Chash Isser, Avalo Nochad Haiti Bazet. Right, so now he continues. He said, they told me they were matir because of Trey Kali Lo Mishtamayim. What did he say? No. It's wrong. I found someone who said it, but it's wrong. And then he tries to support it again. okay, let's see. And then if you go down to the last paragraph on this page, it says, V'yesh ot snif lahatir, there's other heterim, there's kolish al-pimash kolish al-ramah, shkolin osu derachiba, rakamaz l'shem shamayim mutter, that it's only usher if it's not l'shem shamayim. Still, right? He suggests there's a possibility, but then he comes to the end of the paragraph again. That no, it's because of Islas Hashem, etc. Mishum Islas Hashem first or second, Mutar Shteyakaros Achaz L'Shach Torah MiYisrael, etc. Okay, so now, let's look at this last paragraph. Okay, how much time do we have? 5 minutes. Okay, so basically, what he does then is he brings basically in these paragraphs a few heterim. Right, Trey Kol Elam Mishtamai, it's only Usser if it's with the wrong Kavanas, etc. And he rejects all of them, Mikra Din. Right? But then he continues. So why did he even bring in the halakhic arguments? Matt's question. So you look at this paragraph. So he said, okay, so there is this Snif Lahakel, right, that it's, you know, it's only a problem if it's not L'Shem Shamayim, etc. He says, okay, now there is, right, this notion of Eizlas L'Shem, but Ubevadei Shadavar Zanim Tzarak L'Chazal L'Achriya. But he thinks that really, 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 Eizlas L'Shem should only be given over to Chazal. Matayo Eizlas Tozum Mamot L'Hafer. What's given over to be nullified? L'Nim Shalchol Adam L'Shem Maiseh B'Shvil Shiyodei Kiyish Kan Eizlas Tozum. Not everyone can do it. V'ulam B'Nidon She'en Kan Eizer Gamor. But in our circumstance, where it's not clearly usher, v'ragi yishkan minak chazidus minus nias afshar ledrosh muchin lahatir be'er sarvaz. Therefore, we can find ways of being mekel shikvar agia matzav yaduda and mashber because we've already reached depression. If we don't use these tested educational methods, goes from shirgun Ezra, ba'ashkan v'irgun yishrim v'tzarfat ati l'tor chas v'sham shachmi Yisrael. And if we don't rely on it, the Torah will be forgotten. V'lochein ha'reitlam and hagei ergun yishuron shechol mismoch gedolei Ashkenaz shebekim v'chachmara ha'chinuch, etc. And therefore, and he repeats his argument from above, I allow them to rely on chachmei Ashkenaz. Okay, and then he repeats a lot of his rhetoric until the end. Okay?
So he doesn't have an answer.
What?
He doesn't have an answer. He just says...
So he does. Now, what does he do? So, what's clear about the tshuva? If you read the tshuva, what's his fundamental argument through the whole thing? What's his fundamental answer? Is it must be mutter, right? And most of the rhetoric, right, tells you it must be mutter. I don't know why, but it's mutter. and it was mutter in Ashkenaz, right? So it's a combination of an authority argument and a necessity argument. Right? It just is mutter, right? There's intermarriage, there's assimilation, we need to be matur, this is the best way, and then he used the rhetoric, and you're wrong, because you're not willing to rely on these things, you had your children intermarrying, and we're managing to bring them back, right? The rhetoric tells you, as we've already said, what's the main argument? It must be mutter. Why does he bring in the stuff in the middle? Right? Why does he bring in the halachic arguments? Right, Matthew, you want to answer the question? Why does he bring them in?
Because he can't just throw things in.
The answer is twofold. He brings it in, first of all, because kechol hayachal, you should try to align on psikat halacha b'shadat chak. Right? You should try to use the normal mechanisms of halacha, even if you're pushing the interpretation, but you should at least live within the world of normal halacha. If you don't have to rely on Ezel HaSos Hashem, you don't. What's the second answer? And again, this is the combination of what we've seen of Moshe and Rebbe Vadi and everyone else. Is you don't want to rely just on Kiryas Tovah and Torah because it's dangerous. Right? Meaning, you can... A Kiryas Tovah and Torah, when it's used rhetorically, always means it must be mutter. But Kechol HaYachol, you show why it's mutter, not just because, if you can, you want to stay within the bounds of normal halacha. Because you don't want everybody using Kiryas Tovah and Torah. Right? The only people who use Kiryas Tovah and Torah, meaning, what is he essentially making? He's making an Kiryas Tovah and Torah argument based on authority, on Rav Hildesheimer and Rav Hirsch. Right? He's not willing to give everybody the ability to just say, oh, this is what the time needs. So by saying that it's a combination of Akira Starvam and a Torah and halachic argumentation, you keep it within the normal halachic discussion so that not everybody can just go and make it, right? He can say that a real Akira Starvam and a Torah is only Chazal, and the only type that we can do is some combination of halach and Akira Starvam and a Torah. He purposely blurs the lines because, yes, it's Akira Starvam and a Torah in the sense that he's goal focused, and he's going to come to this conclusion, but kechol hayachol, he wants to stay within the normal bounds of halacha. Okay, so simply the point, it's time for mincha, right, is this, is that Kiryas Tovah and Torah is, as we've seen, basically the ultimate expression, or one step farther, of psikat halacha b'shadat chak. What distinguishes it from normal halacha is that sometimes you know the conclusion you need to get to. The question is how you get there. What you see is that Reb Moshe and the Shidaish, when pushkas and teshav, are at some level willing to rely on Kiryas Tovah and Torah, but as much as you can, obviously, you want to stay within normative halacha, both for rhetorical, social reasons, that you don't want to give people the ability to say, oh, it's a time that needs it, we're just going to uproot the Torah. And two, because obviously, as much as you can, you want to stay within the halachic system, not for other people, but for yourself. That it's better to say we're relying on the internal halachic mechanisms, because halacha is flexible enough to respond to the times. And that's really the notion of a Kiryas Tovah and Torah, and Psik Halacha B'Shadat Chak, that sometimes halacha really does need to respond, and it has the mechanisms to respond, you just got to be really careful. And that's why it's important not to analyze the arguments, but the rhetoric of how, first of all, convinced you have to be of the Metzius, and how careful you have to be when making these arguments. Okay.